Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Stop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of Unchecked Baggage. I'm your host, Lena Chapman, and I'm sitting here with my husband.
And co-host, Rob.
The amazing Robert Chapman.
The amazing.
How are you?
Okay, good. All right, I guess.
Yeah. You know, we've had a lot of stuff going on lately.
Mm-hmm.
There's been like broken cars.
Broken cars, two cars broken.
Yeah, my car's broken right now. The battery, it doesn't want to work. So Rob's charging up the battery to see if that's the problem. Because I don't want to have the car towed all the way to the dealership if it's just a dead battery because I left something on the inside.
I'm pretty sure it's a dead battery. If not, I mean, the next thing we'll do is have to buy a new one.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to tell you the garbage disposal. It's broken.
Like it just makes a humming sound?
It's kind of like click, 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 but nothing's going down. Anyway, I bet you if I asked
to put over the garbage disposal to keep shit out of it. I bet you a fork got in there and broke it.
I've never seen a screen.
Somebody took it off. Because everybody complained about it. The kids complained about it was gross. So you took it off.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Anyway, I bet you if I ask Susan, I bet it's Mercury retrograde. Because every time that happens, we have all kinds of stuff break. Like the dryer just broke not too long ago. We had to buy a new dryer. Like everything's broken.
That's coincidence. There's no such thing as Mercury retrograde.
What did you say?
Mercury. Mercury. What'd you say it was called?
Mercury.
I got Merkin on my mind, I guess.
Retrograde.
I think about getting a Merkin.
I think I know what that is, but I don't think I want to have that conversation.
Okay.
Anyway.
Message us if you know what a Merkin is.
Today, we are going to be talking about estranged children. Children that estrange themselves from their parents.
People are strange when you're a stranger.
Faces
look ugly when you're alone.
I have a personal interest in researching this.
Personal.
Because I feel like my oldest child is heading in that direction. Heading in the direction of estrangement. And I see it coming. I can't quite figure out why. So I thought, well, let me do an episode on this.
I know why.
It'll give me a chance to do some research and figure out what I can do to make things better.
Nothing?
I can. And you'll learn.
All their problems are your fault.
You're going to learn as we go through this episode. So I have a lot of resources for this episode, and I'm not even going to name them all off. They're just going to be linked in the show notes. Feel free to peruse them at your leisure. But I did a lot of reading for this one. So I do want to quote one of them. I don't know which one. Quote, it's important to keep in mind that there's a difference between estrangement and parental alienation. According to Psychology Today, parental alienation is the rejection of a parent without legitimate justification, while estrangement is the rejection of a parent for a good reason. But, like, what's a good reason, right?
Maybe your kid's a druggie or a serial rapist or a murderer.
No, Rob, it's the... Okay, let me set the stage here. This is when the child rejects the parent, not the parent rejecting the child.
Maybe the parent's an alcoholic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good reason. Or
was an abuser when the kid was younger.
Yeah, but I think those are like obvious reasons to alienate or not alienate, but estrange yourself from your parents. But I think there are like a lot of gray areas, you know?
Or you don't agree with everything they say, or you don't answer questions the way they want you to answer the questions, so they just don't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of reasons why a kid may not want to talk to their parents anymore, and I mean some of them are very good reasons. Like my dad beat me when I was younger, or I don't know, did drugs in front of me or whatever. I don't know, made my life miserable. Those are all reasons that are like super obvious. But what I'm really honing in on are the things that aren't super obvious, where it's like you think that you've been a good parent all of these years, but the kid still doesn't want to have anything to do with you. I read several articles, and it's usually, at least the ones I read, it's a mom writing the article, and it's a son that is with a new like spouse, and then just like totally rejects that side of his family. That seems to be it.
Because the wife is jealous of the relationship that the son has with the mother.
Oh, is that what it is?
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, those articles, they didn't really even give a good reason. It was just like parents that were hurting and they thought that they were doing everything.
The mother and son were too close.
That they possibly could.
And the new wife was jealous of that. And maybe the son always asked the mom for help or cooking or recipes. And the new wife was jealous, felt insecure and said, it's me or your wife. Hmm. I mean, me or your mom. And you know, which one's giving them sex? The wife. So this one, which they pick.
Well, I sure as fuck hope it's
unless
not the
they
mom.
Unless they live in Arkansas, then the mother might be giving them sex. I don't know. But for the most part, in most states, besides Arkansas and Alabama, the mother's not giving the son sex.
Anyway, one of the things that I read said that estrangement ripples through generations. And that really kind of resonated with me because, I mean, to be super honest, I have never hesitated to cut somebody out of my life if they were not good for me.
It happened on my side, my mom's side.
Yeah.
One of the sisters would be estranged from their mother, and then the kids would also be estranged from the mother, and then the cousins would be estranged from each other because half the cousins want to be with the grandmother and the other half of cousins don't want to be with the grandmother. And if you got to pick sides and if you pick the wrong side, you're estranged.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that could be cousins.
That does sound generational.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about my own self and what, I mean, like people that I've cut out of my life over the years. And I mean, there's a list.
I know. You cut out of your life.
There's a list. I mean, not even counting the husbands.
You can't cut me out because I stay too close to you.
I would never cut you out.
Yeah. Okay.
But I did. I mean, I kind of cut my dad out of my life at one point. The entire side of my father's family.
Yeah, well, they didn't even tell your father died.
I kind of feel like it was like they kind of cut me out.
Yeah, but, they were mad.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to go back like begging to be a part of the family. No. So, and then like my brother to a certain degree, I don't really have much to do with him. And then my stepfather, you know, and then like even my first husband's family,
mm-hmm.
Like I don't really have a lot to do with them. I mean, like, I'm not just like, I'm never talking to any of you again. It's just like, I'm just like, this doesn't feel good. I'm not going to reach out.
Side note on your father. So Lena's father had a heart attack. Lena asked me if he could live with us. I said yes, of course, because I always say yes to family moving in with us because we need everything filled up. And as he as he lived with us, he became more and more lazy and didn't do anything, just moped around the house, didn't spend time with the grandkids. And after a while, Lena's like, hey, I need you to not be like this. It's depressing watching you be like this. And he wouldn't change. So then we basically kicked him out of the house. He moved in with his sister, and then his sister got pissed off at us because he wasn't living with us anymore. When we're the ones that took him in the first place, and they didn't. It cut into her single life, and ever since then, they didn't talk to Lena. They didn't even tell Lena when he died.
Well, I would like to say that, I mean, during this whole time, I realized that he was having mental health issues, and I tried to get him, and I took him myself. I took him myself to the doctor many, many, many times.
Yep.
But he would never continue taking his medicine, and then he just, he would do really weird things that were sort of passive aggressive, mm-hmm. and it kind of felt like living with a kid that
like you told him to make sure he rinsed put oil in the iron in the cast iron skillet, so he just went and bought a new pan and used that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just stuff like that.
It was just an odd situation. Anyway, so I mean, there have been several people in my life that I just have cut out. I feel like I'm very forgiving. I am. I actually am very, very forgiving, and I will just make excuses for someone for days.
That's one of your faults.
Until it hits a point. I don't know. Like it when once it's at the point, I can't tell you what the point is, but once it's to that point, then I'm just like, okay, I'm done.
You complain to me about stuff, but then tell me not to do anything about it. And you know how I am.
That's
when
true.
When somebody hurts your feelings.
That is true. Back to the estrangement subject at hand. Okay, so I found all kinds of statistics. I'm going to read some of them. I mean, they were very conflicting, but this will kind of paint a picture for you. So estrangement hits 27% of the United States population. That was one statistic. And then something else said 10% of Americans estranged from a parent or a child. More than 1 in 4 Americans reported being estranged from another relative. The research, and this is another thing, the research showed that 6% of adult children in the study reported a period of estrangement from their mothers, compared to 26% who said they were estranged from their fathers.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What are they, what is, so does that mean like no contact at all?
It can be like a spectrum. It doesn't necessarily have to be zero contact. Estranged more means like just very, it could be zero contact, but it also could just mean like very limited contact where they, several of the things that I read said that they a lot of times will try to come back into the family's life. So they'll have like limited contact with a meeting or just one interaction, and then they'll leave again for, you know, months or years, and then reach out again. And
okay.
It's kind of like
okay.
a fish that keeps getting reeled back in. Let's see. The last statistic said research suggests that 27% of Americans have cut off contact with a family member at some point. So this is like a super prevalent thing.
I've never ever cut off anybody in my family. Nobody. I've been cut off because of something I didn't even do. Like it goes back to the whole grandmother thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't do anything to anybody. And all of a sudden they unblock me. They blocked me on Facebook, and I'm just like, why?
How did that make you feel?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know what I did, but I'm not going to message them or beg them to be in my life. That's their choice.
Yeah.
And I really don't give a shit.
I noticed one of your cousins at one point, like, unfriended both of us on Facebook.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like, around the same time. And I'm like, yeah. What did we do?
And it has something to do with my mom and her dad. But what does that got to do with us?
I have no idea.
But they drag their kids into the shit. And then we're all like, are we supposed to like each other? We're not supposed to like each other? What's going on?
So dumb. Yeah. I mean, even on my side of the family, like on my dad's side of the family, like just my aunt was the one that it was upset with me because she didn't feel that I was doing enough. But then she like turned everybody in the family against me.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Even so. In the obituary, they didn't put your name in there.
Yeah. And I'm just, it's weird because I don't know. Like, I don't know. If I have a problem with someone, I usually go to that someone and talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. And if that someone is toxic enough for me to just have decided, oh, I can't have anything to do with this person anymore, then I just drop it. And I like, that person's just gone from my life. But I'm not going to turn everyone else against them.
True.
So I don't understand. I don't know. It's kind of a cult mentality, it seems like, sometimes in some families. But if we're talking about estrangement from parents, one of the articles that I read said that a common theme of adult children is the perception and feeling that their parents had little emotional support to offer them. So, you know, if we're talking about not the ones that are toxic, I mean, like toxic is like, mm-hmm. you know, obvious, but sometimes there are things that are less obvious. And a lot of it has to do with how emotionally supportive you were of your kid.
The key word in there is perception.
Mm-hmm.
Like we might show them emotional support and it might not be the emotional support they want. Like they might say, I have cancer, and we'll say, well, you haven't gone to a doctor to see if you have cancer. Why don't you go get it checked? And they'll say, no, I don't want to get checked for cancer. I just have cancer. And if you don't say, okay, we're going to pretend like you have cancer, then that could be their trigger of they don't support what I say. That kind of thing.
That's kind of an extreme example there.
I'm just throwing stuff out.
So why do adult children estrange themselves from parents that aren't toxic? Well, there's a list, and I found it. One is enmeshment. What do you think that means?
It means that there's no cohesiveness in the family. You're not meshed.
No, Rob. It's actually the opposite of that.
What?
It means that there's like too much enmeshment, like too much.
So overbearing?
Yeah.
I want you to say overbearing then.
Well, I mean,
you're the only one that knows what that word means.
It's not just overbearing. It's just that their lives are so completely entwined that it's hard for the child to separate themselves from their parent. You know, and so then I guess they probably feel like they need that separation.
Okay, that makes sense.
There are also differences in personal values.
That's a big deal now.
Which I can see. I think I actually feel like that's part of the problem that I'm going through personally with my oldest is I think maybe we have a difference in some personal values. Although, I mean, like, I try to be the most understanding parent. I really do. But, you know, I mean, still, there's just sometimes you just have differences in who you are as people. There are also life cycle events. Like what I was saying earlier, you know, some of the articles that I was reading, there were like men that were getting married and like, it seems like the marriage kind of sparked the estrangement from the new husband's family.
I bet it's like that with a lot of, I bet in that case, it's usually the son with the close relationship to the mother. The new wife is probably the one that does that. I don't think it's opposite. I don't think it's the husband's like, you're too close to your father.
I don't know though. I mean, I've seen some men that definitely try to alienate their or get their wife to alienate their family too. So I don't think it's just a.
Well, those are usually abusers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the women in this situation are probably somewhat abusive also. That'd be my guess. Divorce that will sometimes cause estrangement from a parent. Parental alienation, that's what we were talking about earlier. Okay, so I read that thing earlier that said that parental alienation is basically like whenever you're estranged from your parent for no good reason. However, whenever you Google parental alienation, it's a totally different definition. It says that it's basically like whenever two parents get divorced and one of the parents badmouths the other, and that will cause the kid to alienate the parent that's being talked bad about.
That's all I heard as a kid. Your father did this. Your father did that. Your father did this. Your father didn't do this. Blah, blah, blah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's hard.
That is hard. Another reason is stress pileup. I think we can all relate to that. Also, ineffective communication patterns. So you just can't talk to each other. You know, that's a very...
Some people are just frustrating to talk to because no matter what you tell them, they're going to have their... You can't change their mind. So then mm-hmm. you just stop talking to them.
Yeah, that's tough.
Like all men are bad. All women are bad. All women cheat. If they have that in their head, you keep saying, no, not everybody's like... And they're, you know... Generalizations.
You know, I think it is kind of hard. Just what I've noticed with the younger generation, so like Gen Z, it is kind of tough sometimes because they go down these internet rabbit holes.
Yep.
Where they go and, you know, they find something, you know, it resonates with them, and then they go and research it, and then they think they're like experts on the subject, and you know, they are definitely entitled to their opinions, but they don't actually, like, if you have any sort of a differing opinion whatsoever, then you're kind of a bad guy.
They're more than happy to give you their opinion as long as you don't give them your opinion back.
Yeah.
Then it's a whole different thing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's tough to have an actual, just like regular old conversation.
Yeah.
Also, socio-historic and political legacy. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea.
My guess is the political legacy could be you're Republican and you try to get your kids to be Republican and they don't want to be Republican or Democrat. They want to be the opposite. So especially, I think this is the bigger thing since Trump started running for office, how most people were pro-Trump. You're either pro-Trump or you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids are like, you like Trump, you got to be a racist. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not coming over for, I could do an episode on this kind of.
Yeah.
I'm not coming over for Christmas. I'm not coming over for Thanksgiving. And it's gotten worse since Trump entered the picture.
You know, I think you're right because I just, you
I'm
know,
always
I,
right.
I think back about like kind of the pre-Trump life.
Yeah.
And I don't remember people, at least like in my Facebook feed or whatever, nobody argued about stuff, you know, like
it was just,
I mean, not really. I mean, maybe a little bit, but not, but it was like all of a sudden, like when he came into the picture, people were so polarized. And I mean, like, I'm really kind of middle of the road-ish. I mean, I definitely lean left, but
I lean to the left,
but I'm
sorry,
but I'm distracted. But I'm really like kind of middle of the road. I
yeah
mean, like,
me too.
You know what, you do you. I don't care what you do as long as you're not infringing upon other people's rights. That's kind of my stance.
Political
almost everything.
Politics have always been divisive, but it's been worse since 2016. Like,
yeah,
you can't either one or the other. And if you won, you hate America. If you're the other one, you hate people who aren't white.
And so people just, I mean, it's torn families apart. And I bet you if we did some research, there's got to be a study about it. I bet you estrangement in families has gotten worse.
It has. I guarantee it has.
I didn't see any statistics.
Especially like for politics.
Pre and post 2016. Anyway, the last thing is survival and personal growth. So I guess just people like spreading their wings and trying to be their own people.
Yeah. You know, like your mom might want you to do this, and you every time you do something different, she's like, no, you should do this. So if you move out and do your own thing, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So the top reasons why adult children do cut off their parents. Now, this is just in general, not just non-toxic parents. So number one reason is toxic behavior. Another is difference in values, a lack of support, physical, emotional, or sexual abuse, failure to empathize, and changing times.
I agree with all those.
Yeah.
Changing times. That goes back to politics.
Mm-hmm.
Politics and gender.
So why would you think that? So, I mean, from what I've read, estrangement is definitely more common now than it's ever been in our history, as far as like adult children being estranged from their families. Why do you think it would be now?
I think it's now because a lot of parents don't want, I don't know. A lot of parents basically let their kids do whatever they want. They don't want to make them, punish them or whatever. And then as the kids get older and things start to happen to them, they don't know how to cope with that. And they don't know. And the only thing they can come up with is it's got to be my parents' fault. I have this problem. Like you said earlier, they get on the internet and they Google their symptoms or whatever. And then they tell their parents, hey, I think I have measles or mumps or AIDS or whatever. And then you say, why? And they give you all the symptoms and you say, that could be this or that. And they're like, why don't you go to the doctor? No, I don't need to go to the doctor. I know what I have. And you don't believe me, so I'm not going to talk to you anymore because you don't validate my feelings.
That may be part of it.
More internet access makes people stupid. You would think it would make them smarter. I think it makes people stupid. And then it helps feed everybody's, like, I could Google something right now and have that.
Yeah.
And I would go to the doctor, though.
Well, I think that, okay, so yes, everything that you said is probably valid. But what the research says is that a lot of the reason is a loss of stigma around mental health. And so people are going to counselors now, where used to they'd be embarrassed to do it. And so now they're actually getting help for their mental health issues. And kids are learning that they're not responsible for their parents' happiness, and they choose to put themselves first.
Yeah.
So that's kind of part of it, is that they're learning, you know, because a lot of parents do really actually suck.
And you know what I think on the counseling part? I think there are counselors that if a teenager or a young adult goes to a counselor and says, I have this, I think a lot of counselors would just let them think they have that instead of saying, are you sure? Let's talk about why you think you have that. I think a lot of counselors will treat what the patient says they have, and the patient might not even have that problem because they don't want to ruffle any feathers or cause that person to be sad or commit suicide. So I think some counselors will say, oh, you think you have this? Okay, let's treat that. And without actually 100% finding out if that's what they have or not.
Oh, well, that's probably a really good point. I mean, there are people that are really bad at their jobs, counselors included.
Yeah.
So the other thing is a shift away from being obligated to parents towards doing what's best for themselves. So historically, I mean, the family was just like a really tight-knit type thing. And the values were that, you know, people took care of their parents. But in today's society, it's a lot more self-obsessed and self-focused. And then also just like people, you know, shifting more towards trying to take care of their own mental health. And so like all of that stuff combined means that like it really is, there's really a breakdown of.
Or using the families. Mental health as a reason not to do something. I can't do that because I have anxiety. I can't do that because everybody hates me. I can't do that because people look at me funny. I don't want to go outside because whatever. So sometimes they use that as a way of not having to cope with anything in society. So they use that, I got this problem, I can't do that. If you don't believe me, I'm not going to talk to you.
Maybe. I don't know. Whenever I was researching this, I really tried to look at it from both sides because I've been on both sides of the coin now. And I just want to point out that there is always two sides of the story. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be the child's point of view and there's going to be the parent's point of view.
The problem is getting those to be the same.
Well, they don't have to be the same. Well, I know, but
getting it so that if this child thinks you don't believe them and you think the kid is whatever, you have to find a place to meet, and somebody's going to have to live in fantasy world.
Well, I don't think you have to live in a fantasy world, but I think you can come to some sort of agreements if you have the right conversations. Now, I'm gonna read this quote.
Read it.
But I want to say this is like one end of the spectrum, and I'm about to go to the other end of the spectrum. But I thought this was interesting. This whole thing is a quote, okay? It says, we live in this trauma-obsessed culture where these kids get into adulthood and look at their lives and say, gee, I have low self-esteem. I have depression. I'm bad with relationships. I'm not able to launch an adult life. And they go into therapy and the therapist looks for hidden trauma, says Josh Coleman, a psychologist and author of Rules of Estrangement, Why Adult Children Cut Ties and How to Heal the Conflict. We're preoccupied with parents as sort of the root of adult outcomes in a way that's really problematic. So to me, that says that, you know, a lot of psychology is really always pointing back to the parents mm-hmm. as the root of all of your problems.
And it might not even be the parent. It could be.
But sometimes it is.
No, it is.
Sometimes it is.
It can be 100%. It could be something the parent did to the kid or something the parent said. It also could be the internet. Could be groups they're in, could be at school, somebody did something to them at school, or they were on the internet and somebody said something to them on the internet and that got under their skin and then that gave them anxiety. It's all kinds of stuff. It doesn't always have to. I think the problem is the kids, it's easier to blame your parent for your problems than it is to actually dig in and look at yourself and say, if I just did this, I can make my life better, but I'm not going to because my parents fucked me up.
Well, sometimes it is hard to get to the root of your pain and figure out what you can do to get past it. So, yeah, maybe sometimes it is easier to blame the parents because it's less painful than doing the
crutch,
the hard work of figuring out how to actually get past it. Oh, sorry about that. We have an Amber Alert. Okay, so for those parents like me that don't want to be estranged from their children, there are things that you can do. And I will be working on these things. Here are 5 tips when estranged and cut off from your child. Number 1, get support. So you can get support from counseling, or from friends, but you definitely need a support system. 2, don't cut off in response. So sometimes it's, you know, like your instinct is that person's doing this to me, I'm going to do it back to them, but you don't do that. Just, you know, you're the adult in the relationship, even if your child is an adult. And, you know, if you don't want that relationship to be severed forever, then don't cut them off too.
See, I think that's some of the problem. I think the adult child knows that and they figure there's no way in the world they're ever going to stop talking to me. I can do whatever I want. So you have to know when to draw the line. At some point you have to draw the line.
Well, I mean, I guess if you feel like you're being abused, then yes, you do have to draw some boundaries. But if your kid is just at the point where they're obviously like cutting you off for something and you don't know what it is, then you got to figure out like what is it? Try to like actually have a conversation. Don't just react with the same treatment that you're getting.
I wouldn't call it being abused. I would call it being manipulated. So go ahead.
Number 3, don't feed the anger. That's a mistake I made. Got an angry text that hurt my feelings, and then I was angry back in response, and that was, you know, that's on me.
No, you were more than fair.
Number 4, listen to your child without defending yourself. So like ask them, you know, what is going on? This feels like this is headed in a bad direction. What do we need to do to fix it? And what is going on in your head? And then 5, you can focus on yourself, not on your child. So that's a way to cope.
Let me give you my fun fact.
Okay.
Did you know that mosquitoes are attracted to someone who just ate bananas?
What?
Mosquitoes are attracted to someone who just ate bananas. So if you eat bananas, don't go outside.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That was a fun fact, that's all.
You need to dig into these fun facts a little bit more.
They don't do it that way.
I need some more detailed information.
Maybe the mosquitoes need potassium.
Guess. Okay, so there are some good news. There is a little bit of good news for parents that have been estranged by their child. For most adult children, the estrangement is only temporary. 81% of estrangements with mothers end, as do 69% of those with fathers. So it's not usually permanent.
You know, for the kids that want to pretend like they want to estrange their parents, mm-hmm. They don't really want to estrange the parents because if they estrange them completely, then they don't have access to Netflix, HBO Max, and all that stuff. So they're going to do just enough to keep all their free stuff they can so they can have entertainment. So keep that in mind.
Anyway, some adult children are off on their own totally without access to all the things.
I bet you there are a lot of kids under 30 who still use their parents' Netflix accounts that don't live at home.
And
Amazon. Yeah, because it's expensive.
Probably. Anyway, that is all the information that I have. I just wanted you guys to know, like, this is something that I'm going through. I mean, not totally. It hasn't gotten to the totally estranged point, but it felt like it was going in that direction. So I wanted to do some research and see if there's something that I could learn that might help me in my situation. And then I thought, well, maybe other people are going through the same thing. So Maybe some of this information will help. I hope it did.
Cut off their entertainment and they won't be estranged anymore. Anyway, so speaking of this, we're also going to be doing an episode pretty soon on Peter Pan syndrome, which kind of ties into this. It's just the other way around. The kids don't want to leave.
Yeah.
They don't want to grow up. They want to grow up until they grow up, and then they don't want to grow up anymore.
That'll be Rob's episode, so yeah. You'll get his in-depth research.
But the next two episodes are going to be, because we're going to go to Europe for 2 weeks, so we're going to do a mini episode before we go to Europe, and then we're going to do one about Europe when we get back, and then we'll do that one, and then we'll be on a regular schedule of entertaining and informative episodes of our podcast. So let me end it with a joke.
All right, I'm ready.
So you remember last week I went to get my prostate exam, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my doctor, I said, "Doctor, where should I put my clothes?" The doctor said, "Put them next to mine on the table."
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
If you have any questions, concerns, comments, please email us at unchecked@gmail.com. And we really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.